Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce Dr. Travis Yates. He's retired major from the Tulsa Police Department, and he also is the founder of lawofficer.com. And yeah, we're not even close to being done. He is the author of The Greatest Police Leader, travels the country doing seminars as well, because we do have a problem with courageous police leaders. Look no further than Minneapolis. It's just crazy. And speaking of that, that's going to be one of our main stories, you know, coming up. But thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Travis Yates. Appreciate it. Look, a shout out to our sponsors. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. And we've got the Gauls gift card code back. So our title sponsor is Gauls at Gauls.com. And hey, use that radio gift code. It's radio 15 to get 15% off your next order. If you missed out on the sales during the holidays, you got it. You got radio 15. You got our gift card code. And also compliantechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them. We've been on satellite radio since May the 5th, actually. Also, aeroprecisionusa.com, our arm sponsor. We have gunlearn.com, medicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them. Right now, during the live show, we're streaming over 1 million people. And we've also got twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Go there, get the cool shirt like what I'm wearing, a coffee mug behind me. We've got shirts and hats and shorts and just all kinds of gear. We don't charge anything extra for the gear. We don't make a dime off of it. We're just trying to get our gear out there and our name out there. So please go to the store, check it out. That's at our website, which is leoroundtable.com. And you see the store on there. It was built by Two Bells. They got a great thing going for us. And finally, fishorlandobass.com. If you like to fish, hook up with Zach in Orlando. It's called fishorlandobass.com. And he also offers alligator hunting. You can catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator, but it's one or the other. You can't do both. You know, it's not like, you know, you're going to be, you know, catching alligators on one side of the water and then go across, you know, to the pond and do the bass fishing, you know. But whatever you like, Zach will hook you up at fishorlandobass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. And of course, I've already mentioned Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those other things for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? I've already hinted. We've got a bunch of news sources. Listen to these are just the titles, guys. At least six Minnesota federal prosecutors resign amid pressure to treat Renee Good, you know, our bad girl Karen, killing as an assault on an ICE agent. We've also got Minneapolis Police Union claims that the officer morale is at an all-time low. Tom Homan confirmed that the ICE agent who shot Renee Good has actually been forced into hiding. We'd heard that yesterday. And finally, the DOJ, Dr. Travis Yates' favorite organization, their civil rights division, it's even getting better, iced out of the Minneapolis shooting investigation. But we're going to get some inside scoop on that. And I think it's all going to fall on the shoulders of our very own Dr. Travis Yates. So I can't wait to cover that. We've also got, you know, I'm going to hold the SEAL story until tomorrow because we're going to have our special forces guy on tomorrow. But we do have a suspect that shot by Baltimore police officers when he drives the vehicle at them. We've got yet another shooting of somebody weaponizing a vehicle. We've got police shoot a knife-wielding suspect in St. Louis Airport. We got a surveillance video showing an apparent incendiary weapon being fired at a Greenville police officer during an ambush. That's pretty wild. Idaho Falls police fatally shoot a domestic disturbance suspect when he grabs a large knife. And Christopher Taylor, he's reinstated as a police officer, including his license. You're going to get more scoop on that if we have time to cover it. And then finally, body cam video shows a man throwing a Washington trooper to the ground. It was a female lieutenant, stealing her patrol, her cruiser. Wow, that's just so embarrassing. Anyhow, if you're ready, Dr. Yates, we'll get started with the deep stuff here. CBSNews.com, TheLibertyDaily.com, and finally, we have two articles from LawOfficer.com. So I'm going to read these, and I'm going to go through them, but I've tried to stack them so that we can finish up with Law Officer and have Dr. Yates kind of spread the wealth on this thing. At least six Minnesota federal prosecutors resign amid pressure to treat Renee Good killing as an assault on an ICE agent. Now, if you guys have seen the video, I'm still getting, I posted something on LinkedIn. I know Travis has posted, he's been on LinkedIn and seen it. There were so many uneducated, uninformed people. It is really scary. Now, I will say that I got in the conversation about this shooting, because there's clear video evidence showing that not only did she hit the cop, you know, the ICE agent, but she drug him backwards. Irrefutable, factual. It's not even being contested anymore. If you can find it. I went on and tried to find it because I had a guy denying it. And then he said, oh, show me the whole clip. He's just not happy with it. I mean, he wants to see the whole video. But I went to find it. Travis, I couldn't find it anywhere. And I went back and I saved the link and I finally got it that way. It took me quite a while, but it's not readily available for people, which is my first flag, Travis Yates. You can't find that video showing the hit. You can only find the obstructed one where it looks like maybe you're standing to the side of the vehicle. Surprise?
Yeah, it's almost like what Sheriff David Clark famously said, that the cops are so bad, people can't stop lying about it.
Yeah, it's just scary. So I do want to offer, look, and we want to be fair. There's a lot of ignorant people out there, or people who they don't care what the truth is. They just don't want any part of it. They're not going to acknowledge it. Like there's one guy on there that said, even when Von Kleem offered, look, I'll send you the video. And he said, look, I don't even care the video you just sent me. I don't even care. We're never going to agree. He didn't care. You know, he's entering into debate and he's made up his mind and nothing you're going to say is going to change it. Those people, they're dangerous, but they just can't be saved. They just can't be saved. So going back to this article, we've got at least six career prosecutors in the Minneapolis U.S. Attorney's Office, including U.S. Assistant U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson. They've actually resigned the office, and they continue to face pressure to treat the investigation of the fatal shooting of a Minneapolis woman by an ICE officer as an assault on the federal officer. They had an issue with that. They quit. Now, when I read through this, it's going to sound dire. It's going to sound like, oh, my crap. Oh, crap. What's going on with Trump's DOJ, right? Travis Yates is going to make sense of this. So, guys, please have, as I go through, and I'm going to go through it because we're fair. We're going to give you all the information, but we're going to help you filter out the bad stuff and understand it. And I say we, it's really Dr. Yates, because I got a little nervous reading this, Travis. I got to be honest with you. So Thompson, who's the first guy that we're recording that quit, he also previously served as the acting U.S. attorney for Minnesota. So that's another flag, because he was working in Minnesota. He was appointed by President Trump, good thing, in June, served in the position until October, resigned from the attorney's office along with Harry Jacobs, Melinda Williams, Thomas Cahoon, Lopez, Ruth Snyder, and Tom Hollenhurst. So all these people left because they're not happy with investigating a crime against the ICE officer right now. Two sources familiar with the matter, they tell CBS News, liberal source, the resignation stemmed from the concern over a request to probe Good's widow, surviving spouse, if you want to call her that, who was with her when they encountered the ICE agents, or let's just say when they stalked the ICE agents, as well as the way that the case is being treated as an assault on a federal officer as opposed to a civil rights case. And so it also goes on to say the New York Times reported Tuesday that a number of people familiar with Thompson's decision to leave, that he also objected to federal investigators refusing to cooperate with Minnesota state agencies in investigating Good's killing. So he wanted them to share all their information with the Minnesota investigators who were refusing the help, and arguably what caused this issue in the first place, because they were not allowing local cops to take care of this little issue, and the feds had to do it. Doug Kelly, a former assistant U.S. attorney from Minnesota, says the move is a major blow to the credibility of the office moving forward. Now, that doesn't sound good for Trump. Since the massive fraud scandal, Mr. Trump has lashed out against Minnesota's large Somali American community, as many of the Feeding Our Future defendants are of Somali descent. So, wow, it sounds horrible, right? So I saw the writing on the wall, that one. Now, we're going to briefly leave that article. Don't forget what I just said, because we're going to tie it in the fourth article. The number two, Tom Homan confirms the ICE agent who shot Renee Good. He's been forced in the hiding. There's people out for him. Then three, Minnesota Police Union claims that the MPD officer morale is at an all-time low. Gee, I wonder why. Minneapolis police morale is at an all-time low amid dangerously low staffing levels. Officers are being placed in volatile conditions, according to an email sent by the union to its police officer membership. The email from the Police Officers Federation of Minneapolis, that's the same place that our very own panelist Bob Kroll was lieutenant and in charge of, Crime Watch obtained the email. It was addressed several issues contributing to officer stress and burnout, including officers having to navigate, quote, shifting political narratives and political rhetoric and inflammatory statements from elected officials. So they're not committed, right? They're bouncing all over the place, thanks to Jacob Frey, Tim Waltz, and even O'Hara, their chief. Now, Trump down to the best part about this. It's tying it all in. The fourth article by lawofficer.com, DOJ, Civil Rights Division. It's not the DOJ, and we're not just talking about Minneapolis or Minnesota. We're talking about the Civil Rights Division. Travis will touch on what exactly they do in a minute, but it's based out of Minneapolis, and it's concerning the shooting. Federal officials investigating the fatal January 7th shooting of Renee Good in Minneapolis have sidelined the Justice Department unit that typically handles civil rights reviews of officer-involved shootings, according to multiple reports. The shooting involved the federal immigration officer. Their inquiry is now being led by the FBI alongside the local U.S. Attorney's Office, as reported by the Washington Post. Now, we're getting close to commercial break, so we may have to finish this up after the break. But in many high-profile uses of deadly force, the DOJ Civil Rights Division, particularly its criminal section, they assess whether civil rights prosecution is actually warranted, including potential violations under a certain federal code. It goes on to say, but in this case, CBS News reported that career prosecutors who offered to deploy, that they were told the division was not actually going to participate. We're almost done, guys. Commercial break. Stick with us. It'll be worth it. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
We're going to hop over Comply Technologies at complytechnologies.com. And of course, you know, our favorite product they have is called the glove, but they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. It's called the glove, and it's had no injuries. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at complytechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Comply Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to complytechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, Comply Technologies, and tell them that Chip sent you. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Shades, retired Tulsa police major, and we're talking about what's going down in Minneapolis. And this last article that I started on from lawofficer.com, DOJ Civil Rights Division iced out of Minneapolis shooting investigation. And I was just talking about the shooting was of Renee Good in Minneapolis. And, you know, Dr. Travis Shades completed an exhaustive study on the agency's investigation of law enforcement agencies, and in one case found that the division lied or misled in 97% of the cases discussed. And again, let me remind you, I'm talking about the DOJ. So when they're talking about the DOJ being iced out, Dr. Travis Yates is going to break this all down to us, because we were talking off camera, and I was telling Dr. Yates that I was reading all these flags about, you know, we've got U.S. attorneys or assistant U.S. attorneys, you know, leaving the office, and that this is not normal practice. And we've got a civil rights division that usually steps in and does an investigation. And they're based out of Minneapolis. But then again, the guy used to be like with the AG for Minnesota. But then I forgot about the whole DOJ. So it sounds just dire, like the Trump admin, the DOJ, is just bad things are happening. And then I read that last article from Dr. Travis Yates, and ding, 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 everything just matched up perfectly. It was perfect. So Dr. Yates, break it down for the dummies.
Well, the mainstream media writes these articles for dummies, for people that don't know anything. And people will hear DOJ and they think that there's some sort of elite investigative body. And it's anything but that. And first off, let's just talk facts. Any type of incident anywhere in the country with law enforcement, you don't immediately implement a civil rights investigation. You got to investigate the incident. You got to investigate it criminally. Then you have to investigate it administratively. And usually down the line, if there's going to be a civil rights inquiry, they will compile those investigations and go from there. So the fact that less than a week out, people are like, oh my gosh, they're not investigating from a civil rights. It's just ludicrous, right? It doesn't even come in that order. So obviously the articles are written to inflame people and to make people think that there's some sort of corruption going on. Well, the actual corruption is going on within the Civil Rights Division, DLJ, because people need to understand the history of them. They've been investigating law enforcement incidents for 30 plus years. And typically the trend is, and I'm not making this up, they go in after high profile incidents and they'll find civil rights violations no matter what. They went into Ferguson. Oh, they didn't really find it there, but they went into New Orleans. They went to Minneapolis. They go into all these cities and it's triggered by a high profile event, not activity from the agency. And you have to remember, civil rights pattern and practice has to be a pattern and practice. Now, certainly the federal government can investigate for crimes and individual incidents, but people that may be upset the Civil Rights Division is iced out, so to speak, well, they ought to be. They don't have any right to investigate any law enforcement agency based on the past. And let me remind everybody, everybody in law enforcement knew there was something weird with this group, because they would find these wrong findings on these agencies, and then it was just, with no specifics. Well, Phoenix, I know I've talked about it before, but when they investigated Phoenix, they investigated him for over 3 years. They tried to pressure Phoenix. You need to just agree with us and enter into a consent decree because we found you committing all these civil rights violations. Well, thankfully, the leaders in Phoenix says, well, can you show us the evidence? And of course, the DLJ said, of course not. We don't do that, because you would never want to show evidence to, a city body that just paid millions and millions of dollars for you to investigate them. And so that sort of raised the red flag in Phoenix. And they said, well, you know what? We're just going to hold off. And at the same time, we're going to release every body camera video you said was a civil rights allegation. And that's what they did. It's on a public website. Everybody can go see it. Now, the media didn't pay any attention to this, but I don't know, happened to have a few months off in the summer. And so I went through every body camera footage, myself and a small team of people, and we basically evaluated what the DOJ said based on the footage. And that's why we found that 97% of the time they misled or lied. Some were just overt lies. For instance, they shot this guy and violated civil rights, committed a crime. Well, they failed to mention the guy was trying to stab a police officer. Kind of a big omission, right? And then the misled, typically what they showed, and you can read the report. I'll just give people the website. Don't go read it now. It's all up for people to see. By the way, when you do research, you almost welcome people, Chip, to sort of critique it. That's what researchers want. No one's done that. They just ignored it, right? No media people picked it up but you. Nobody wants to talk about it. They want you to forget what the DOJ has done, that they lied 97% of the time. And by the way, that's just Phoenix. In our report, we have other allegations they did to other cities based on what those cities said and based on what federal judges said. They just threw out the New Orleans one. Actually, no, the Louisville one just got thrown out because one reason the federal judge said, this isn't even true. You can't even defend what you said. And so the history of the DOJ Civil Rights Division, they have to almost be completely gutted. Now, they've gutted a lot of them, but you're never going to get rid of all of them because people don't raise their hand and say we're liars typically, right? And so I'm pretty disappointed in that because they're still around. Obviously, a few more were outed here. But typically what they lied about and misled about was this. They have no understanding of constitutional law, which is very strange, and it sounds crazy that the investigative body on constitutional civil rights doesn't have an understanding of the Constitution, but it's just clearly they don't, because they were taking legal justified shootings in the city of Phoenix and claiming they were civil rights violations. They weren't cited in Terre Haute, Ohio, or Graham v. Conner, and all the constitutional case laws. And by the way, I'm not some high-level expert like a Jamie Borden or Von Klein, but I know what the Constitution says, and these cases are not hard to decipher. And these lawyers, and I believe these lawyers know too, they're just lying to say you're violating people's civil rights. So go to lawser.com/DOJ. You can read the whole report. 97% of the time, what they said was false. Now, would you let anybody investigate anybody with that in their background? So the Trump administration is completely right by saying, you're not touching this. You don't even know what Graham v. Conner says. It's clear. They have no idea what legal force is and illegal force is. They don't have any idea what justification of force. They don't know anything because they put it in writing, Chip. This isn't just an opinion. You can read what they wrote and you can clearly see the bias is so extreme, they cannot do any investigations. And so if you're a local agency, the last thing you ever want to do is let the federal government investigate your department. They have proven time and time again, they're going to lie about you. And it's crazy to me that it's just kind of like me and a few other people talking about this. Because to me, this is one of the biggest scandals in the last decade, that one of the most powerful law enforcement entities on the planet has been deceptive and lied about local law enforcement and really placed them in a really bad spot. I mean, every city they've been involved in has turned into complete crap holes.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I can't wait to get back to it. So, guys, stick with us. We got a commercial break coming up about Aero Precision. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus Bolt Actions, and that's not all. They're M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards. They already hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys have access to the Primo stuff and their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department, also author of The Courageous Police Leader, and he's also at TravisYates.org. And, you know, he was just talking about the DOJ and reminding us all that these attorneys with the DOJ that are leaving in the Minneapolis area because they're not comfortable with, you know, doing the investigation against our Karen that ended up getting killed, that was attacking the, you know, the ICE officer and stuff. You're giving us the insight in the DOJ that they've always been part of the problem, at least for recent memory anyhow. And we're really not losing anything. We're kind of like purging a bad system. Is that how a good way to characterize it, Doctor?
Yeah, and something for everybody to remember. The law says it doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what you think watching a video in the confines of your home. Doesn't mean what you think on Twitter. What did the officer believe at the time this happened? That's what the law says. And you can not like the law. You can be mad about the law. But the fact is, these type of incidents are not unique. We're going to talk about one a little later in this show. These happen every week in law enforcement. Just like this, they're very similar. And nobody says a word. So everyone that's all up in arms over this is very disingenuous about it. And they've just brought emotion and politics to really gray up their minds, so to speak. So if you had any sort of critical thinking skills, you would sort of take a step back and go, does this happen in law enforcement? Well, I mean, around 21% of the attacks on law enforcement that involve use of deadly force involves a vehicle. So, you know, there's that. And the fact that we see these videos weekly, Chip, here on the show. Yeah, there's that. But people that are so embedded emotionally and they have whatever that TDS is with Trump derangement syndrome, they can't step away from that and actually think about it. And people know us enough, Chip. If this thing was horrible, we'd say it, right? We've said that plenty of times on this show. So it's unfortunate that you can't think, but that's what this show's about, and hopefully other shows about. We're going to give you sort of right down the middle what sort of what critical thinking, what the law says, what the Constitution says, and you can not like that, but don't blame us, blame the law.
Well, thanks. Excellent point. And I have a URL on the screen. I know that we've got a lot of, radio listeners or maybe podcasters that can't see the screen, but you mentioned the website to get more information about the DOJ and just really how dishonest they are. Lawofficer.com/DOJ. Is that correct, Doctor?
Yeah. I mean, and I welcome anybody. Go check it out. And if you find something wrong, let me know. So no one's found it yet, because
yeah, they'll be the first.
They said we took what they said and put it on paper, and we compared it to the Constitution. Is really all we did.
Yeah, it is not when you read that story, and like I did, like we explained, when you read it, it's really not bad news after all, guys. Hey, moving along, we're going to jump to a story where the first video component, Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And look, if you're looking for good police videos that come out before anybody else has them, This Is Butter is at Rumble.com. Had an issue with YouTube like I did. And also actually lawofficer.com has got them too. But Baltimore, Maryland, a man is in stable condition at a hospital after he was shot by police while charging at officers with his vehicle.
Hold here. Get up! Get up! Hands! 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 Show me your hands! Give me your hands! Give me your hands! Give me your hands! Get on the ground! Get on the ground! Get on the ground! Get on the ground!
I'm shot! I'm shot, yo!
Show me your hands!
Hands!
Show me your hands!
Hands! Hands! Show me your hands!
Gutty, watch out!
Show your hands!
Hands! Gutty, get up! Get up!
Show me your hands!
Wow, another one. And this they gave this announcement on Tuesday. So the shooting happened around 8:15 p.m. in the evening. It started off when officers respond to the area for there's a narcotics call. They attempt to stop a car. The driver flees. Officers follow it through the city, and he makes a mistake. He goes down a dead end, right? That's the downside of driving on an area you're not familiar with. Now he's in a dead end. He's got the cops behind him. What's he going to do? So he stops the car. They get out. They're behind him. What's he do? He puts it in reverse, and then he charges at the officers in reverse. Multiple officers fire their weapons into the car. Officers strike the driver. He's a 37-year-old. He ends up being in stable condition at the hospital. They don't give his name, and I hunted for it. And just kind of looking at my show notes, I know that he stops at the dead end. Shots are fired at 3 minutes and 16 seconds on the video after he attempts to ram the officers once. And then he had already attempted to ram them once. I didn't hear any shots being fired. This is the second attempt to ram officers that they finally fire. And then at 3 minutes and 40 seconds, he's been shot, but he's still moving around the vehicle, but he backs the car up again. He looks like he's going to go forward again, and this time in forward gear and drive, changes his mind. Oh, the door opens up and he like crawls out and hits the ground, and they end up arresting him. So we got a couple decent body cams of this incident. Dr. Yates.
Yeah, I mean, just because it's timely, you can look at this video and the one in Minneapolis, and it's actually very similar. The car backed up. The car went forward. The only difference is the officer wasn't struck by this car, and this car was a good 15, 20 feet away from the officer when he fired his weapon, other than the other video where the car was right up on him and it struck him. So no one will say anything about this. It's to be legal. It's to be justified. Federal government, DOJ, everybody knows who's going to say a word because it's the politics aren't wrapped around it. But these happen a lot. If you're outraged about Minneapolis, then you ought to be outraged about this one, but they won't be because people are being very disingenuous and lying about their opinion.
Thank you. So right. You know, even on LinkedIn, people weighing in, well, how can you give a conclusive, statement by saying that, you know, it is justified and this and that, you know, it's people forget that. Look, we got some great companies and organizations like For Science, you know, where Von Kleem's at, and Jamie Borden with Critical Incident Review and Danny King, but they don't enlist the services of these guys on every police shooting around the country. Guess what? Agencies who work with the local DA or state attorney's office are able to determine an extremely short amount of time whether or not it's a justified shoot. You've got your physical evidence, but, you know, there's a lot of times to where you've got to interview your witnesses and you're going to interview your officer, because really what's important normally is what's going through that officer's mind, right? I mean, is he really in fear? And if he is, what's it in fear of? Or is it for himself or somebody else? And would a reasonable officer do all that? But you can look at video evidence, and unless the officer opens up his mouth and really screws things up, and I'm going from my opinion, you'll know most likely whether or not it's a justified shoot. But this is not stuff that takes, you know, weeks or months typically. I mean, there are other scenarios that might be more complicated. You could have at MacDill Air Force Base here in Tampa, we had a guy that was trying to get away from cops and breaching the Air Force gate. And we had like an OK Corral shooting where we had like, I don't know, dozens of officers shooting, and we had a dead guy. We had a crash gate at MacDill Air Force Base, and we had federal property it was just a mess, you know, in a lot of players. But normally these things are done very quickly. If you're going to go to court and this guy's on trial for murder or a homicide, you know, manslaughter, whatever, then it's going to get down to the nitty gritty and with the forensic science portion of it. Your thoughts, Dr. Yates?
Yeah, and you've heard a lot of talk this week about, oh, because the officer said a cuss word afterwards, he had intent to do this, and then she did not have intent, and she did not have intent to run him over. Okay, first off, are you sure that's what he said? Because if you're saying he said it, it opens yourself up a defamation lawsuit. And hint, there were a lot of officers on that scene. Don't be so sure he's the one that said it. Maybe we'll talk about that in a future show. Secondly, the law says intent doesn't matter on a suspect or him. It doesn't matter what the intent is. The law specifically says that in Graham v. Connor. The intent or motivation doesn't matter because these are split-second decisions, what the court said. So all this talk about intent, it doesn't matter, which is why they can adjudicate these so quickly, as you said, Chip. Because if you had to understand what intent was and motivate and what motive was, that takes a long time if you ever get that. But the law says that intent doesn't matter. What matters is at that moment in time was what the officer did objectively reasonable based on the information he knew at that moment in time. Not what you find out later, not that you found out that she had a stuffed doll in her car or whatever it is, right? So once again, people that are crazy, that don't want to think, they don't care about what I just said. But I think critically thinking people will want to go look up Graham v. Connor, 1989, read what it says. It's not rocket science. You'll see right then and there why there's a lot of objectivity when it comes to these incidents.
You know, I know we're kind of going, we're not really off topic, but I'm talking a little bit longer about my LinkedIn post. A lot of the people weighing in that are passing judgment and bad judgment, they don't like what I said or the video, the guy, you know, it's not a justified shoot. They don't even live in this country. I remember last night I'm on my cell phone, I'm driving my wife crazy. You just can't get away from it. I'm like, well, no, I run a news program. So, but it's some chick in Denmark. And so my only response was, because I had already responded to like a dozen people already. I just wrote her back, thanks in advance for Greenland, you know, and
yeah, you know, and I appreciate you tagging me on that LinkedIn post because I saw that, because people are responding to me and they said today some guy was like, what about Trump? And I was like, I didn't even say it, but I'm like, bro, you're supposed to be on Twitter. What are you doing bringing that over here? And that shows you their mindset, right? This has nothing to do with Minneapolis. This has to do with their hatred for a president, which is
exactly
always been very, very strange to me. I've had presidents I didn't particularly like, but I didn't spend hours of my time talking crazy about the president, right? I just voted a different way. So it's definitely a mental illness I think we're seeing with people acting that way.
Well, yeah, and mental, that's a, you know, and talking about mental illness in this country, that is like a whole day show. That may be interesting to talk about during SHOT Show. But hey, I'm going to whet the appetite for the next story with the video component, if it's all right with you, doctor. I know we got a commercial break coming up, but also at lawofficer.com, we have another story. It's got a video component. Police shoot a knife-wielding suspect in St. Louis Airport. And so we're...
You got what? I'll leave. I'm going to be killed. You're going to be killed. Hey, drop. Listen here. Drop
the knife.
Drop it.
Drop the knife.
Drop.
Fuck. Put your hands up now. Upload your fucking head off.
Shots fired.
EMS. What's hurt? Hey. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
Drop it.
Mother, son of a.
We're in Missouri all of a sudden. Now we got a commercial break coming up, so let me just whet the appetite. This happened recently, guys. This is November the 21st, and it's a situation where I was getting a little nervous about crossfire with a moving subject surrounded by officers. So we're going to talk about that in just 1 second. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, They have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and Gunlearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, here's the deal. The founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, retired Tulsa police major and also author of The Courageous Police Leader. We're at the St. Louis airport right now in Missouri, and I don't mean physically, I mean story-wise. On November the 21st, 2025, we've got a recently released video, and this is at lawofficer.com if you guys want to read the story and watch the video. And so St. Louis Airport police are doing foot patrols in Terminal 1, and there's this adult dude there named Darius Kennedy, and he's outside the restroom, and officers instruct him to leave the airport, and he refuses to comply. So look, the first flag, non-compliant, right? He refuses to follow the officer's commands, and he pulls out a knife from the sleeve of his jacket. That's a second problem, right? So officers that issue multiple verbal commands to this guy instructed him now to drop the knife. Of course, he ignores commands, and now he starts to move forward towards the officers. Now, the officers, I will tell you, to create a visual picture for the people, like a word picture, they have surrounded this dude. And we've got, let me go with my show notes. I think I counted four officers. There's at least four officers. You can see four officers in the video surrounding this guy. So now he's coming at these guys with a knife. And so you've got one officer deploys a taser, and he actually hits the bad guy, Kennedy, but it's not effective. He's still armed, and now he turns and he runs in the direction of another police officer. That officer fires a service weapon, and he hits the bad guy, who's pronounced dead at the scene. The investigation later determined that Kennedy was 31 years old and that he was unhoused. So he was, transient. And I'm just looking here at my show notes. We got a couple body cam videos of this and a surveillance video as well that show this. But, I don't know about you, doctor, but I was watching the video and I'm watching where everybody is and I'm watching the backdrop, and it was just making me really, really nervous.
Yeah, I get pretty angry when I go to the St. Louis airport. I fly through there a lot because unless you're an alcoholic, there's nothing to eat at that airport. They just have bars. They don't have many restaurants. And I'm usually flying through there late at night on a flight. But I would never think about doing this. Well, as you talked about, I would never normally say that a taser played a role in a man with a knife. And I'm on this show all the time going, what are we doing? Right? These things don't work very much. And they don't work very much, if they're not used appropriately, but we use them on everything. But this case, I will actually say it was pretty clear that the officers had a plan, because one officer was completely on taser and the other officer was completely on lethal force. And so as soon as the taser didn't work, lethal force kicked in. And so I would say this was an okay deployment by that. But they had to have known long before that he attacked them, which is what he was doing, trying to run towards them, that this is going to happen. And this is the biggest thing. And as you know, Chip, I talk about this a lot. I'm involved in this thing called focus training, field observable cues for unknown situations, where we have gone back and we have used research and science to look at what occurs prior to violent attacks. And one of the most common is what we call a declaration. Verbally, it doesn't happen every time, but it happens pretty quite commonly. But when it happens, you got to get ready. Verbally, they say something that makes you think, that doesn't make sense. And so when the guy immediately tells him, you're going to have to kill me tonight, that's a huge red flag. So it was not a shock to me that once he said that, he then started not complying. Then he started target fixation. He started turning. He started looking at each officer. So you have to know in that moment, it's happening. There's no more talking to this guy. There's no more trying to de-escalate. He's already made up his mind. And because when you get to verbally saying something, you have already made up your mind. And so he was just trying to find the right time. And so I would say they were pretty keen on that. They didn't let him get too far down the line. Obviously, it's in an airport. He starts running around, a bunch of officers around, very fortunate. But I thought overall they handled it pretty well.
All right. Very good. Yeah. At least, only the bad guy got hurt on this one. So good deal. And I will say, it's an airport. It's a terminal. Terminal One, right? But I didn't see a civilian around. Period. They did a really good job of. They must have blocked it off.
Yeah, I think that's what they happened, because they just didn't show up with one on taser, one on less lethal, in that they without talking about it. I think they probably had a plan. They cleared it out. I've got to think it wasn't past security because he had a knife. But hey, it's TSA, so you never know. But yeah, I think overall the reason they were successful in that is there was good planning, which if you have time to plan in these situations, it's always the best thing to do. You don't always have time, but if you do, it's great.
Yeah, right. Good point. Because if it would have been the San Francisco, he would have grabbed a female right next to him and held her hostage. And, you know, remember that one where they actually were able to. Yeah. Anyhow, moving on. Look, your choice, Dr. Yates, I'm going to give you two choices if you don't mind. Ooh, so. We've got our officer that gets reinstated and he gets his license back. And it is, let me think, I believe that might be Albuquerque or that is, no, it's Austin, Texas. So that was the officer. He ends up getting acquitted and he gets his license back. And we've got the other one where we have our black female lieutenant that is a trooper. Her and all the other female troopers that are being so nice to this guy, they're giving him a warm blanket. It's raining outside and stuff. And then he turns and he rips her out of the car and he steals her cruiser. We've already covered that once. Now we just have body cam. So we've already covered it, but we would cover it again, but we got a little less than 4 minutes. What's your preference?
We have to cover that one, right? The body camera was just too good.
All right. So rumble.com. This is Butter. Is the name of the channel. Body cam video shows a man throwing a Washington trooper to the ground and then stealing her patrol car.
Yeah, you are. Here, get
please,
off,
bro.
Get off the road.
Please,
get
bro. Off the road. Please. Bro. Please.
Holy s***. No! No! No!
Calls the time, and my first time was reported to have 6 patrol vehicles, 1 person.
Stole 69 patrol car.
12537,
verify he stole a patrol car?
He stole my patrol car.
Passing 184 on lane 1, 1157.
70 in Seattle, I'll be secondary behind 1265. I'll be calling it. We're continuing southbound Alderwood Mall Parkway, approaching Beach Road, speed 61 miles an hour. We're making a right turn down Alderwood Mall Boulevard from Alderwood Mall Parkway.
We're down to Alderwood Mall Boulevard, 1157.
So I'll be primary and I'm gonna try to go in for a pit. We made a right-hand turn. We're going south on 44th Avenue West, getting back onto southbound I-5 right now. So you just dodged me. I'm gonna attempt it again. We're still southbound.
Vehicle pit, Mallway, 169, 1200.
In Seattle. So yeah, Washington State Patrol. We've already covered it once. I'm going to go very quickly. Our bad guy, 24-year-old Alexander Eugene Smith, told investigators that he smoked meth before the incident. So it shows troopers talking to him. And look, these are like all, there was one dude. I don't know if it was a dude. There was one that was questionable. I don't know if it was a dude or a chick, but you know, but it was, other than that, it was most certainly all females talking and dealing with this guy. And then he ends up walking down the center lanes of I-5 near 85th Street. And no one's forcing him to get off the freaking interstate. I just couldn't believe how just like, not lackadaisical, but just, you know, we don't want to offend him. We don't want to hurt him. We don't want to force him.
Give him a blanket.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Oh, my goodness.
So sure enough, eventually this guy bolts across the interstate and now she leaves her car and she's, you know, she's out on the radio and just only people coming are like other females. And then sure enough, you know, he grabs the lieutenant. Well, he says, as he's walking, crosses all lanes of I-5. And lieutenant approaches Smith, tells him to stop. He violently pulls her from the patrol car, gets in the driver's seat, and then she's knocking on the door because it's locked from the inside and he won't open, and then he speeds off. So she stops a driver and asks them to call 911. Dude, what's up with that? Do they not have like portable freaking radios? Is it just one in the car like in the old days? And now they chase the stolen car and they end up doing a pit on it, which was just like heavy damage to that thing. And they pull the bad guy from the car and arrest him, Dr. Yates.
Yeah, this is something. This is a video everybody has to see. And unfortunately, I think people are making a big deal about being females. I've worked with plenty of females that would take care of business.
Well, this wasn't one of them.
This wasn't one of them. And if you haven't seen the video, like literally, this dude just takes one hand and just throws her out of the car, and then gets off and drives off. But the best part of the video is after he drives off, she starts going, "No, no," starts moaning, right? No. Yeah. And then another officer pulls up. And not that she's got enough shame about what happened. She couldn't sit in the passenger seat because there's a bunch of stuff there. She's got to get in the back seat of the police car to go chase this guy with this and this other officer. So, yeah, she's probably not going to be able to live that one down without a few cartoons and a few memes. But hopefully we learn from it, right? There's a time to be nice and there's time not to be nice. And this guy had given them no indication it was a time to be nice. I mean, so – it seems pretty ludicrous we were even in that position to begin with.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's no place for females in law enforcement. I'm just saying don't stack the deck with female officers on your department because things like this are going to happen. You know, I saw three or four troopers and they all looked like they were female to me. And I'm just saying, what is that ratio? I mean, you know, there's that movement that trying to get to what 33% of law enforcement officers being females on every department. That's just, you hire people based on ability, not to fill a freaking stat. You're only asking for trouble and you deserve what you get. But, you know, when I see all these troopers showing up the scene, now finally, when they had to ram the car, there were male officers that showed up. But when you've got a guy that ended up smoking meth and you've only got females there, and even if there's three of them, they're not going to be able to handle this guy. You know, that is a safety concern for me. So I just it became just very apparent watching the video. I don't mind there being a female trooper there, but at least, you know, when you're dealing with people and then just call them this guy and not taking action. And probably because they didn't feel like I have to assume maybe they questioned whether they could take law enforcement action to go hands on with this guy because no one wanted to, you know, so I'm not going to let the guy walk. If he doesn't want to get the interstate, I'm going to arrest you for freaking trespassing and, you know, on state property and boom, you're gone, you know? And it just takes people off the street. You know, they're falling. What they look like they were following him for like miles down the interstate as he's walking.
It would be a great conversation for another show to ask whether as soon as he got in the car and drove off, was that a deadly force situation? Can't get to it today, but that'd be a great conversation on a future show.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I'm curious what she had in that car too. You know, we knew she probably had a radio in there. because she had to ask a civilian to call.
If it's like the majority of police cars, you've got weapons in the car, and the car's a weapon.
AR, yeah, whatever, shotgun, yeah. All right, the wounded blue.org. Check that out, and I support them monthly. Great organization, guys. Support our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Governor.com, Medicare.life, Safeway Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherLandoBass.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.